Fear causes us to make bad decisions, and we need to never make decisions in the midst of our fears. We need to stop and bring back faith into our lives before we ever make decisions, because it's going to be a wrong decision. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 47, and sort of walk through some verses here in Mark. So if you're there, why don't you go ahead and stand in honor of God's word, and let's read Mark chapter 6, verses 47 and following. And it says, "And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and Jesus, he was alone on the land. And Jesus saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out." Should be probably an exclamation mark right there. They cried out. That sort of sounds like, they cried out. But they cried out. Okay, they saw a ghost. They cried out. "And they all, for they saw all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded." Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we go through these verses, Father, as you speak to our hearts today, that Father, the things that we do, the things that we understand, the things that we hear, the things that we see, Father, would just be what you want us to see. Father, I pray that you would use these words that were going to be spoken today, and that, Father, they would touch our hearts, that, Father, we would walk out of this place knowing what you've called us to do and what you've called us to be. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, this story about the disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee is also found in Matthew chapter 14, John chapter 6 is the setting today. I want us to sort of use this as a launching point to look at our responses to situations that arise in our daily life that cause us anxiety, or maybe they make us fearful. In these situations, we have a decision to make whenever this fear sort of comes to us. We have a decision to make. Are we going to respond in fear? Are we going to react to what we feel and what we see? Or are we going to respond in faith, trusting God who takes care of all of our daily needs? You know, we come across these kinds of issues every day that we go through life. The question I want to raise today is, how will I react? Will I react in fear, or will I react in faith? Back in October, I started reading through the book of Mark, studying through the book of Mark, and I saw in chapters 4, 5, and 6 a pattern sort of emerging as I was reading through there, and I picked up on a theme that was winding its way through the narrative. I don't think it was a main theme, but it was something that maybe God was trying to show me, but it was something I saw there, and I want to sort of walk through. So if you'll go back, just sort of turn yourself back to chapter 4, I want to sort of walk through, and I want to show you that six times in chapters 4, 5, and 6, six times Jesus talks about fear. To me, that's sort of ironic. I mean, that's not something that we need to go, oh, well, it's just fear. We don't need to worry about that. I think it's sort of impressive that six times here in these three chapters he talks about it. So let's sort of look at each one of them and see what we have to say. It says in chapter 4, if you'll go back there, this is really the first instance where Jesus had calmed the sea. The difference in this particular case was that Jesus was in the boat with them. They were going across the Sea of Galilee. A storm came up. Winds, waves, waves were coming into the boat, washing into the boat. The guys were scared to death. Matter of fact, they were a little upset with Jesus because he was asleep in the front of the boat, and they were all nervous and whacked out because of this. And so they walked up to him and they said, "Hey, what's going on? Don't you care about us, Jesus?" And look what Jesus told them in verse 40. It says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" I'm going to tell you my one point today, get it over with early. That way, if you tune out, maybe you can hear it up here at the front, and I'll say it a couple more times. But my point today is the antidote for fear is faith. When you have faith, when you have fear crop up into your life, the antidote, and I'm a pharmacist, so I like to talk about those kind of things, those things that we take whenever we're struggling, the antidote for fear is having faith. And by the way, I'm going to also make a stop right here and tell you that if I just use the word faith, I'm telling you, it's not just faith, it's faith in God. Okay, I know a lot of times, and I've been listening, I've been watching television, you watch a lot of these Hallmark movies, they say you just have to have faith. I wonder who they're having faith in, right? I'm telling you who I'm having faith in. I'm having faith in God. So if I just use faith, you need to hear me that I'm saying not just faith, not just some thought process out there that I just need to trust, I need to hope, I need to have those feel-good moments, you know, those touchy-feely kind of things. I'm talking about having faith in God, in who He is, the sovereign Lord of the universe who made everything, okay? So I've put that disclaimer out there for you. When I use the word faith, that's what I'm talking about. So the antidote for fear is faith in God. So that's what he tells them there. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this guy? So that was the first opportunity they had. The disciples, by the way, feared what they couldn't control here. How about you? Do you have those kind of situations that you get fearful when you lose control of situations? I'm a control freak. Ask my family, they'll tell you. I like to make sure that everything's in control. Whenever I sit an hour and a half at Cracker Barrel, I'm out of control, okay? And I lose it, and I get, you know, all these anxiety situations coming up in my life. I'm thinking about what time I'm going to get home, you know, as I waste an hour and a half there. Those kind of things, we can't control it. And those kind of things cause those kind of issues to sort of boil up fear, anxiety. They come into our lives. That's what these guys were feeling here. So we move over into chapter 5, and you'll know the story. They landed on the shore, and they were in the land of the Gerasenes, and we had the demoniac. I call him Crazy Larry, sort of comes up to him, okay? This guy could make the Hulk, you know, fear a little bit. They would put chains on this guy, and he would break them. He wasn't just your run-of-the-mill crazy guy out in the woods somewhere that, you know, you worried about. Whenever you saw him, you were afraid of this guy, okay? He could break chains. There was nothing that could hold him because he had a legion of demons inside of him. So Jesus comes up. He meets Jesus on the shore. They have a conversation, and the demons inside of this man talk to Jesus and tell him what their name is. And they beg Jesus not to throw them into the abyss at that point. So Jesus says, okay. And he cast them into the herd of swine. You remember that story, right? And the herd of swine were smarter than the man, because what they did is they went and jumped off the cliff. Okay? They didn't want to have demons inside of them, so they went and jumped off the cliff. And so now the herdsmen have nothing to do because their herds are gone, right? They just jumped off the cliff. And so they go into town and tell the townspeople what's going on. So the townspeople come out, and Crazy Larry's sitting there with Jesus, okay? Got clothes on now in his right mind. And let's see what it says there in chapter 5, verse 15. It says, and they came to see Jesus, the townspeople, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legions, sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why? Why were they afraid? Why? They should have been afraid whenever he had demons inside of him, but now they're afraid because he's in his right mind. I think they're afraid because of Jesus. They didn't understand what was going on. How could this man do this? I mean, Jesus is sitting there. So what did they do? They asked Jesus to leave because they were afraid of what was going on. The people feared what they didn't understand. They didn't understand what was going on and how Jesus had done what was going on. So they were fearful of that, and they wanted him gone. Turn the page as we go, and then we have Jesus again crossing the sea. Same story, we're just sort of walking through this in chapter 5, and Jesus reaches the other side of the shore. They ask Jesus to leave, right, in the Gerasenes, and so he gets on the boat and he travels to the other side. And when he gets to the other side, Jairus, who is the synagogue leader, meets him on the shore and says, hey, my daughter's dying, I need you to come and just, I hear you heal people. And so Jesus goes, okay, I can do that. And a throng of people, I mean, crowds and crowds of people come, and Jairus must have been a very popular guy. He must have been a very well-liked person because all these people came to support him. And so here's Jesus going to go to Jairus' house. And in the midst of that crowd was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, probably had cancer of some sort, had been suffering, had spent every dime that she had. By the way, a person who had an issue of blood was considered unclean in a Jewish society. She should not have been in the midst of a crowd, right? She should not have been anywhere touching anybody in that crowd. Allison and I went to New York. I understand crowds because we went to New York this past summer, and we were in Times Square, and we were walking down the road. And if you've ever tried to stop and change directions, you can't do it. You're in a crowd. This crowd is pulling you along. So this woman had to really work hard to get to Jesus, first of all. And then she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, he's going to heal me. And by the way, he did, and she did, and she was healed. And immediately Jesus stopped. That's another amazing thing, stopping in a vast crowd like that, stopping the whole entourage. And Jesus immediately stopped and said, who touched me? And it's like, who touched you? I mean, everybody's touching you, okay? You're in the middle of the crowd, but Jesus understood. And the woman, let's look at the story in verse 32. He looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, verse 33, says, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling. Why was she fearful? Why was this woman fearful? She had just been healed. She knew it. Jesus knew it. Why was she fearful? She was fearful, first of all, because she was breaking Jewish law. She knew that they could probably take her out and stone her. She was breaking the law. She had an issue of blood, and she should not be in that crowd. But she was also probably fearful of what people were thinking about her. You know, who is this woman? What is she doing? By the way, she's probably fearful of Jairus. Why are you stopping the crowd? We're trying to go see my daughter over here who's dying. I need you to come on. She had fear. I don't know why she did it, but it says here, verse 33, she fell down. She came in fear and trembling and fell down before him. She was fearful of breaking that Jewish law. She was fearful of what other people thought about her. Then we move on to the next instance of fear, which is Jairus. His daughter is dying, trying to get over to the house. And as they were stopped there with the woman in that whole situation, someone came up to Jairus and probably sort of pulled him aside and said, hey, you might as well leave the master alone. You know, your daughter is dead. Jesus hearing that conversation, Scripture says, Jesus hearing that conversation, look what he says in verse 36. Do not fear, only believe. You know, again, going back to our antidote for fear is faith. That's what he's trying to tell this guy. Don't worry. Don't be fearful. Have faith in what's going to happen. You know, Jairus was feared the death of a loved one. I mean, is that's pretty tough. I mean, if you've ever been at a deathbed, my mother passed away of cancer many years ago, and I remember going over there day after day and watching her sink lower and lower. I mean, it's your mother. I mean, you're not going to have her the rest of your life. That's fearful. That's a fearful situation. I understand what he was going through, okay? But Jesus says, don't fear, have faith. So that was the fourth one. The fifth one that we see here, a little bit different than the rest of them. You turn over to chapter 6 as we go through the narrative. And Herod is talking about Herod. And Herod, you'll remember the story, had taken his brother's wife as his own wife, okay? Basically committing adultery with his sister-in-law. And so he's taking this, and John the Baptist is after him, constantly telling him that it's wrong and all that kind of stuff. So Herod, you know the story, Herod brings in John, throws him in prison, and one day they're having a party, and his stepdaughter, Herodias, said, what do you want? Herod says, what do you want? And Herodias said, I want the head of John the Baptist. So what did he do? Chopped John the Baptist's head off, brought it to Herodias. John the Baptist is dead. But look at what the scripture says here in verse 20. It says, for Herod feared John. Did he fear John? He just cut his head off. How much fear could he have of John if he cut his head off, right? As we think, logically, we think, well, how could he fear someone that he just killed? Well, I think he feared John because he didn't like what John was saying about him. By the way, I think he felt the condemnation in his own life of the sin that he had. He knew taking his brother's wife was wrong. He feared those words. He feared... Have you ever been guilty? Have you ever been guilty? And you know you're guilty? And you have fear. It doesn't matter what... anything can come at you. When you're guilty, you struggle with fear. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be something totally off subject, but you're fearful because you have guilt in your life. That's where Herod was. He was fearful. You know, interesting thing. And then we get to the story we just read here in John chapter 6, verses 47, where the disciples feared. So we have a lot of different instances of fear that we see in this particular three chapters here. So I want to stop and now say, what is fear? Let's define it as we go forward. First of all, let me just give you the textbook definition of fear. It says it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. Another one is that fear is an emotion brought on by a threat perceived by us, which causes a change in the brain and in the organs of your body, and ultimately it changes your behavior, such as running away, such as hiding, such as freezing up and not being able to do that. Have you ever had a dream where you're running and you're not moving? Have you ever had that dream? You know, you're trying to run away and you can't do it. You're freezing up, okay? So it has a biological effect. It's called the fight or flight syndrome, okay? That's what it's called if you go and study, you know, biology. That's what they call that. It's a physiological effect that happens in your body when fear happens. What is that effect? First of all, your heart rate goes up. And by the way, all these are there so God can help us. He gives us all these biological things that's going on in our body to help us. The heart rate goes up. Why? Because you need blood pumping through your body when you're fearful so that you can do something, so your muscles work, so your heart can work, so your lungs can work. So what does God do? He pumps that heart rate up so that your heart's... Have you ever felt your heart palpitate and you get up there and you're fearful? You can feel it. That's God doing that for you, okay? He's putting that heart rate up there. Your muscles get tense, okay? Your senses sharpen. You can hear better. Your eyes dilate, lets more light in so you can see better. God is trying to help you to see what's going on. You start sweating more, so you can cool your body down so that your body doesn't overheat. All those are biological effects, and probably most of you have felt some of those effects that at some point in your life when you're fearful, okay? The cold sweat that you ever have, you know, so you hear people say they break out in a cold sweat. That's that fight or flight syndrome. You're trying to, your body is trying to help you overcome that. So the question now is, what are you fearful of? What kind of fears do you have? You know, some of the fears, as I was looking up, by the way, the word... Every one of the words, if you look at chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, every one of those words that I used, that I said it was afraid or fear, every one of those words, and I'm not a Greek person, I leave that to Jordan, but I do have a Strong's Concordance, and it does show me what that word is. And you know what the word is? Phobia. That's the Greek word, phobia. So we have phobias, don't we? So what kind of phobias do you have? You know, arachnophobia. Anybody got that phobia? Anybody want to say arachnophobia? You know what it is? Spiders. Okay. When I worked in one of the pharmacies I worked at, we had a driver come and bring some drugs to us, and he was freaking out, you know. And he was really, really freaking out. And it's like, what happened? He goes, a spider's in my van. It's like, well, step on it, man. It's a spider, you know, but he was freaking out. You know, it's gone, right? It's a spider. It doesn't care how big it is. Just kill it, you know. Arachnophobia. Some people are really afraid of spiders. Another one is agoraphobia. Anybody have that one? That's the fear of crowds or open spaces. You know, you don't like to be in big crowds and stuff like that. Agoraphobia. My wife has the next one, okay? Acrophobia. Anybody have that one? I didn't know she had that until we brought all of our children to the Grand Canyons. And, you know, Peter and I, we run up to the edge, and we're looking over, and she's back there freaking out, okay? She thinks she can see her. She doesn't care about me. She can see her son, you know, pummeling to the bottom. And I go, Allison, there's like stair steps. It's like 20 foot out there before you can see. And I say, won't you come look? Oh, no, no, no. She's not going to come look. You know, I'm staying right back here. This summer, I told you we went to New York. We went up on the top of the rock, I think they call it, Rockefeller Center. And I was up there looking. I mean, they've got a fence way over my head. It's probably 8 foot tall. And I say, Allison, come look. And she goes, no, no, I'm fine, way back here. I don't understand that, but I do understand that. I tell you, I've been driving over the Orange Bridge. I sometimes have to go to Orange and work. And I drive over the old bridge, and they got it down to one lane. I somewhat understand that because, I mean, I start slowing down a little bit. You know, I'm going, okay, you know, what would happen if my car would fly over the edge? Stupid fears, right? That's what I'm talking about, those kind of things. What kind of things do you fear? Claustrophobia. I probably feel a little bit of that sometimes. I mean, I can get in an elevator, all right, but you start hemming me in and I have no way out. I'm start getting a little bit, I can feel the sweat coming up and I can start feeling the heart kicking in a little bit. There's a lot of different fears that we have, a lot of different phobias we have. Let me say here, and I'm going to sort of just make a disclaimer, there are some fears that are common sense kind of fears. You don't go tightroping across two buildings if you don't know what you're doing, right? That would be a good fear to have, that you're going to fall, because you don't know what you're doing, so don't tightrope across those kind of things. I don't want to go jump out of an airplane if I don't know how to parachute, right? I've never done that. I need to be careful. I need to go take lessons. Now, you can do things to help those kind of things, but I think God gives us common sense to be fearful of certain things, but that's not the fear I'm talking about. Those common sense kind of things. Going 125 miles an hour and there's a bunch of people around. I mean, you got to be careful. I mean, that's a stupid thing to do. But that's not the fear we're talking about. We're talking about those things that, go bump in the night and we don't know what it is. It's when you wake up in the middle of the night and you sit up in bed and you think there's somebody in the room and you turn the light on and there's nobody there. Those kind of fears. Those are things that are unsubstantiated. We need to be careful of those. So some fear is healthy. It keeps us from doing stupid things, right? We need to not do stupid things. So the question I guess I need to ask is, what are you fearful of? What's your fear? Now, you probably, it might be more than one, it might be two or three, but you probably all, as I've been talking, you went and you hit a couple of them. I saw some of you acknowledging claustrophobia and acrophobia and arachnophobia and other ones. I saw y'all sort of, going, that's me. So what are you fearful of? Many of us are fearful of losing the freedoms that we have, right? You're fearful of the unknown. You'll do something totally stupid because you know what's going to happen instead of just going into the unknown. Some of you are fearful of pain. We fear people that are different. That's what causes our prejudice in life, right? Whether it's color or they live across the tracks or they have more money than I do or less money than I have, more talent than I have, less talent than I have, whatever it might be, we don't like people that are different than we are. Probably we look across the sanctuary, most of us are in the same socioeconomic, and we look sort of like and we sort of live sort of alike. We tend to congregate in groups that we like. But we fear people that are different. That's the reason why when you walk down the street and you see that person that's different than you are, you cross to the other side so that you don't have to walk around them. Why? You're fearful of them. Are they going to try to steal something? Are they going to hit me over the head? What are they going to do? We're fearful of those kind of things. We're fearful of people who might ridicule us. We're fearful of loneliness, of failure. We're fearful of a lot of different things. Whatever you thought of whenever I ask you what you're fearful of. We have a lot of those kind of things in our life. And our scripture today talks about what the disciples did when they were in the boat and they were fearful. So let's sort of walk through the scriptures, if you don't mind. Going back to Mark chapter 6, and let's look at starting there at verse 47. It says, "And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he," being Jesus, if you read the story, he's talking about Jesus, "and he was alone on the land." The thing I need you to understand is, as we sort of walk into this story, first of all, was that Jesus was on the land, his disciples are here, and he goes, "Okay, guys, I need y'all to get in the boat and go over there." What happened three chapters ago? What happened? I'm sure that the guys are over here looking out there and the Sea of Galilee is white capping, the clouds are roiling up in the sky, and they're looking and they're going, "You want us to do what, Jesus? Go get in the boat. Come on, guys, get in the boat." And they go, "And I'm not going to go with you this time." See, last time he was with them, okay? Now he's not going with them, okay? He's sending them across. Isn't that the way fear starts working in our life? Having those things in my life, it's, I'm sitting here and Jesus is telling me to go get in the boat and I'm thinking, uh-oh, gosh, look at that sea out there, man, look at that wind blowing out there, look at the clouds, he's not going to go with John, he's not going to go with us. You know, what are we going to do? You start thinking, and my fear goes from here up to about right here, okay? And then I get in the boat, and the wind keeps blowing, and everything's happening, and it gets worse and worse and worse, and my fear starts rising and rising and rising. That's what was going on here. That's what I need you to see. As they came out here, Jesus didn't go with them, and that scared them, I think. They had just had some bad sea experiences before, and now here Jesus is sending them out. They remembered what was happening. They were starting their journey off, and hear this, they were starting their journey off, and they were already separated from Jesus. If you ever are separated from Jesus, it's not a good thing, right? Jesus was not with them. So it says, the next thing, as he says, they were out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And then look what verse 48 says. It says, and he saw. And Jesus saw. That's important. That's a good point for us to just sort of stop and sit on. Jesus was not in the boat, but he saw what was going on in their life. He knew the storm was blowing. He knew the waves were there. He knew the fears that they had. He knew everything about it because he saw them. Jesus sees you. Whatever things are going on in your life, whatever situations are happening, I need you to understand that Jesus knows. He sees it, and he's ready and willing to help you. You just got to accept that help. You got to turn from fear to faith. And Jesus was going, okay, guys, what are you going to do? Jesus saw. Isn't that what that verse says? When evening came, the boat was out on the sea. He was alone on the land, and he saw. Man, that's a comforting verse. Jesus sees. So he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Ever had the wind against you? I remember my dad telling me that he used to go to school uphill both ways in the snow. You know, it's hard to do, right? Going uphill both ways, but you know, sort of that same kind of thought. You know, everything is against me. I have to do everything. You know, the wind is always against me. I never get to ride my bike, you know, with the wind at my back. Do you ever feel that way? You know, that's fear giving you those bad thoughts in your life. Because the wind, as the scripture says, was against them. They had forgotten that Jesus was there. They forgot who Jesus was, but the wind was against them. How did they respond? That's the question I need to ask. How would you respond? That's probably a better question to ask whenever you're in that situation. The wind was against them, and it was the fourth watch of the night. It was 0:30. They had left, by the way, during the daylight hours, right? Jesus had sent them across to go. It was daylight. They had been rowing. Now it was the fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. They had been rowing a long time. They had been struggling a long time. It was dark. It was windy. It was rough. They were tired. Isn't that what usually happens to us? We get ourselves in a situation where we're tired, we're irritated, we're irritable. All kind of things are coming at us, and then it gets worse, right? So here it was, the fourth watch of the night. They had thought they were just going to have a little short jaunt to go over to the other side of the lake, and here they've been rowing all night long, tired, irritable. And then they saw something walking across the water. Look what it says. He came to them. About the fourth watch of the night, he, Jesus again, came to them walking on the sea, and he meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they saw him and were terrified. The word there for cried out, if you look at that, meant they screamed out loud. This wasn't a, oh, look, there's something out there. They screamed like little girls, okay? If you've you can imagine, I would have screamed like a little girl, okay? I'm tired, I'm irritable, I'm struggling. I've been rowing all night, and now all of a sudden I'm starting to hallucinate because there's something out there walking. John, look, there's something out there. And then he walks up close to the boat. I'm going to scream. I'm probably going to holler. I bet you it was Keystone Cops in that boat as they were trying to figure out what to do in that boat. Sometimes as you read that, it's just, you know, words on a page, and we can't get the full effect of what was really going on in the boat. Pandemonium happened. They were panicking in this boat. And by the way, these weren't me and you. You know, I get in a boat whenever Jeff invites me to go to Nature's River to go ski, and maybe once a year I get in a boat. These guys had been in boats all their life, right? Peter was a fisherman, and he's not happy with what's happening right here. He is scared to death. Phobia, the word used there. He was terrified. Fear tends to cripple us to where we have no activity. We can't do anything. And we need to be careful that we don't allow that. They were panicked. They were terrified. They had froze. They couldn't do anything. And they were in a panic here at zero dark 30 in the middle of the night. They were terrified. Keep reading. It says, but immediately he, Jesus, spoke to them. When we're in the midst of all of that kind of a situation, and we want God to come, I want you to know that God's going to speak to your heart. The problem is I think sometimes we don't listen. We don't have our ears on. We're not tuned in to hear His voice, because He's trying to speak peace into our life, right? Jesus doesn't want us to be panicked in these kind of situations. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to replace fear with faith. He wants us to have those kind of things. I love that verse. Jesus spoke to them immediately. He understood the situation. He saw what was happening. By the way, he saw what was happening even whenever he was up on the shore watching them. He knew what was happening. But he came to them and he spoke to them. And he said, going on, it says, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. What great words God spoke to them in their heart that day. That it is I sort of has the same kind of thought process as what God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. It's almost that same kind of verb context there. He didn't just say, hey guys, chill, man, it's me. That's not what he said. He said, it is I am. That's the connotation. Whenever he spoke, it wasn't, hey, it's just me, you know, your buddy that's been walking with you for the past couple of years. It is I am. It is the Messiah. I am here. I am sovereign. I am in control. That's what he said to them. That's the connotation of the words that he used. He didn't just walk up there and say, it's going to be okay. Hey, y'all chill out, okay? I've got this under control. I am is here. He spoke that word to them. Man, that's powerful whenever we see how God speaks into our life. He spoke the I am. He encouraged them not to fear. Do not be afraid, he says. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. They thought they had seen a ghost. They were terrified. But Jesus spoke those words to him. He identified himself and who he was. He encouraged them. He came close to them. Jesus does those kind of things even to us. So he said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And then it says, and then he got into the boat with them. So let's sort of remember what the scene is. Winds blowing. Waters are rolling, okay? Waves are crashing over the boat. Jesus walking across the water. He jumps in the boat with them. What's still happening? The wind's still blowing. The waves are still crashing. But Jesus is with them now. Okay? He still hadn't fixed their problem yet, which is the wind blowing. But he's going to, and you've read ahead, right? We've already read this story. He's going to do it, but he hasn't yet. I need you to see that. He hasn't yet fixed their problem. I'm in the middle of problems, and I have things coming into my life. He doesn't always fix that problem right away, does he? But what does he say? Hey, replace that fear with faith. Trust me. I might fix it in a few minutes. I might fix it in a couple of years. But you know what? I am going to fix it. You just got to have faith, not fear. But we always tend to go to fear, don't we? We always want to jump to that point. So he got in the boat with them, and the winds ceased, and they were utterly astounded. I sort of, as I read that, they were utterly astounded. I'm sort of disappointed. Really? You're utterly astounded? Didn't three chapters ago he do the same thing? How can you be utterly astounded? He already has done this at least once in your life. You've seen it with your own eyes. How can you be astounded at that? You know, you want to sort of Denozo slap him in the back of the head. If you're an NCIS person, you understand that, okay? You slap him. Yeah, come on, guys, what's your problem? He's already fixed this for you once. Sort of makes me disappointed in him. But on the other side of the coin, I sort of am appreciative of that, because how many times do we forget what God has done to us and all the things that God does for us in our lives? All the times he fixes problems, and then the next thing we know, we're back into the middle of that fear. I hope I never lose the awe whenever God works in my life and when God brings a miracle into my life. I hope I never forget those days to be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, in the good and on the good days and on the bad days, blessed be your name, Lord. I hope I never lose that sense of awe. So what are some of the negative spiritual consequences of fear in our life? First of all, I want you to understand that fear reduces the size of God in our eyes, and it increases the size of the situation. Whenever we have fear, God gets small because our problem gets bigger. And the more we focus on our fear, the smaller God gets in our eyes. By the way, God never gets small, right? He's never small. It's just how we perceive him. We need to be careful that we don't allow fear just to keep coming and coming at us, because he will eventually, God won't even be around in our thought process. What we think and what we see becomes more important than what we know from God's word. And that's what happens, is God shrinks because we forget. We don't remember who God is. The second thing is fear causes us to make bad decisions or go the wrong way. You know, think about the people of Israel, Exodus. You know, they God miraculously brings them out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. How? Because God opened up the waters. They walked on dry ground. They got to the other side. The Egyptian army comes in, crashes over the top of them. They're floating on the top, dead. They float up on the river. They're standing on the riverbanks. Here comes a dead Egyptians, okay? They're walking into the wilderness after they just saw that. And what happens? They get thirsty. And they say, we want to go back. Let's go back to Egypt. Man, I remember we used to have, you know, flesh pots that we could eat out of. That sounds appetizing, right? The fear of the unknown, they didn't know what was out there. They knew what they had back there. It wasn't great, but you know, I don't know what's out there. Fear causes us to make bad decisions, and we need to never make decisions in the midst of our fears. We need to stop and bring back faith into our lives before we ever make decisions, because it's going to be a wrong decision when we're making those kind of decisions, if we're making them in the midst of our fear. Fear also causes us to stay quiet when we need to speak out. Oh, I'm in the midst of work, and they're talking about all kind of stuff. They're saying all kind of things about God and who he is and who he's not and all those kind of things. I can't say. You know, they're going to think I'm stupid. They're going to ridicule me. You know, I remember Galatians chapter 1 where Paul says, you know, that we shouldn't seek the approval of man, but only the approval of God. We need to, if God tells us to speak, we need to speak. If God tells us to shut up, we need to shut up. But if God tells us to speak, man, if you hold back, that's nothing more than fear stopping you from doing the right thing. Negative consequence. Fear also causes us, and here's mine, causes us to try to control situations instead of trying to hear the voice of God in the midst of that situation. I want to control it, but God wants me to stop and listen and hear what He's got to say. We need to be careful that we don't allow fear to influence us like that. Fear causes us to conceal situations instead of going to other people and bringing other people into our situations. Whether it be sin that we have in our life, you know, we try to conceal it because we don't want anybody to know what's going on in our life, so we conceal it. Maybe maybe you're having an affair with someone, and instead of coming to God and saying, God, here I am, man, I have messed up royally. I need you. I need a brother to come alongside of me and help me. Bert, come help me come to the side of me and pray with me and lead me. Instead of doing that, well, we hide it. So I don't want anybody to know. If they know, they might do something. How many people do you know, whenever they get in the midst of sin, they run from God instead of coming here to this place? Man, this is our hospital. This is where we get healing in this place. But we run away from the hospital. You don't do that. If you had cancer, if you went to the doctor tomorrow and he says, you got cancer, you're not going to run away from the hospital. But we do whenever we figure out we have sin in our lives, don't we? We run the other way. We don't come. Fear causes us to conceal shame and sin in our lives instead of asking other people for help. James tells us, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You're not going to be healed unless you're praying, unless you're seeking the face of God. Lastly, fear causes us to seek easy decisions rather than seeking the right decision. We make the easy choice. We do the easy road. What does it say in the scripture? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. It's easy to follow that road over there, and fear makes us take those kind of paths. So, what do we do when we find ourselves in the midst of fear? We take our antidote, which is faith. The opposite of fear is faith. The antidote for fear is faith in God. How could that be, Eric? I don't understand. I just pick myself up better and sort of say, I'm going to have faith. Is that what I do? No. It's remembering. We go to God's Word and we remember who He is and what He's done. We remember the words that He speaks to us about how He's going to never leave us or forsake us. We go to those places and it gives us faith. Not, we don't get it from ourselves. We have nothing in ourselves. We have no faith of ourselves, do we? It's only going to come from God. So we have to go to the source, and we have to come here, and we have to see that. So the antidote for fear is faith. We need to make sure that we have that in our lives. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talking to his son in the faith says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control." Right before that, if you would look back the first a couple of verses there, Paul was telling him that he remembered, "Timothy, I remember the faith that you have, the sincere faith that you had, that you got from your mother, that you got from your grandmother. So don't be fearful," he says in verse 7, "because of that faith that you have." So when you find yourself fearful, you need to remember that you're not living in faith. Let me say that again. When you find yourself fearful and you're worrying about everything and everything is sort of coming at you and you have those things growing, heart palpitating, sweat, eyes dilating, everything sort of coming at you, you feel those kind of fears, you need to understand you're not living in faith, and you need to get yourself back to what God wants you to do. And you need to find yourself into His Word. Find yourself in His Word. You're not living in faith when you're fearful. We need to be driven back to the source of our faith. Isaiah 26 says, God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Is your mind fixed on God? If your mind's not fixed on God, you are going to be fearful because you can't do it yourself, right? We do understand that, right? We can't do it ourselves. Do we understand that? We can't do it ourselves. There's nothing in this world. Some of you might do better than others. I might be able to get 20 yards down the road, and you might be able to get 50 yards down the road, but at some point, we've got to go 95 miles down the road, and we can't make it on our own. So we need to quit trying. We need to let God take care of us. We need to change our fear into faith. We need to bring ourselves back there. You know, I've been talking a lot today about really speaking to people who are Christians in this place today. Because if you're not a Christian, you have no faith in God. There's nothing that you have. And by the way, that is a fearful place to be. I'm going to let you know that you have a right to be fearful if you are not a Christian here today. Because the Scripture says that our only place that we're going to go if we do not have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is we're going to go to eternal judgment and we're going to be eternally separated from God. You need to fear that. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, Scripture tells us. That's a fearful thing. But you know, there's an antidote for that too. It's believing and accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. Here in just a second, we're going to have an invitation. Brother Phil's going to be up here in the front, and he'll be able to show you some scriptures. If that's you, you need to come talk to him. He'll be able to help you. He'll be able to show you some scriptures that'll show you what it takes to be a born-again believer in your life. Many of you here today have already accepted Jesus Christ, and I hope that something I said today sort of sparked something in you, and you understand that you've been trying to do it on your own. You've been trying to live your life on your own terms, and you feel those fears sort of popping into your life. I need you to understand that you need to change that. The opposite of fear is faith. So when you're living on that side and you feel those fears overwhelming you at times, you need to stop and come to the other side and come to faith.